Boston Bruins out on the ice this morning. Season not too far away. And to get some insight on what to expect from the Bees this year, we're joined on the telephone line by Ty Anderson of 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Hello there, Ty. Happy New Year to you.
Hey, Rich. How's it going? Happy New Year to you guys as well.
Well, we're doing pretty well here, and a lot of news from the Bruins, mostly about departures. Let's start with the big one last week. Was this the right move for them to say goodbye to Zdeno Chara after 14 years?
You know, I don't think it was the right move. It was going to come someday, but I felt that this is sort of, you know, they're really dug in on this core right now and having one final chance. In my opinion, having him on this roster was still a plus to this team, especially when you don't really acquire a replacement or talent that you would say is on the same level. They have some young options here, but none of them are really established outside of Jeremy Lozon, and he was scratched for 7 out of their 10 playoff games. So who knows what his ceiling really is right now as well. So they believe that they have the guys to replace him. However, I have my doubts when it comes to that, and in terms of this rookie group holding up over the full 56. I think when you're this dug in on the core group of Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci, Tuukka, you know, even Halak, if you want to throw him in there. This is an older team, and I think to be win now at two positions, or two groups rather, at forward and the net, but not on defense, that is a little bit worrisome to me, I think, if in terms of this team being a legit contender for a championship in 2021.
And you've written it for now, all eyes are going to be on the left side of the defense to see what's up there.
Yeah, so that's really where all the question marks are. We know that Matt Grizzlick is going to be on that left side, probably either on the first pairing or second pairing, either opposite Charlie McAvoy or Brandon Carlo. It's everything else we don't know. John Moore is here, but when John Moore's been healthy and available, he's been scratched for 30% of his time here. He's the next best option, you know, in terms of veteran presence that you have there. And then you have the kids. You have Jacob Zboril, a first-round pick in 2015. Juro Vaakanainen, a 2017 first-round pick. Again, Lozon as well. And you also have some other young kids in the system as well, like Jack Akan, Nick Wolf. These guys were NCAA signings. So they have options. It's just they're not established right now. And that's sort of the problem. And they only have about 10 days here to figure that out before the games start counting.
How much pressure is there on a guy like Brandon Carlo to step up?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think it's a big year for him. When you look at his season last year, pretty good. You know, career high in points, which is nice, but there were some inconsistencies night to night. So if he can round that out, I think he'll be a huge part of this team. I think he's really going to be the rock of their penalty kill without Chara. Last year, he had a career high in shorthanded time on ice per game. We're going to see how that develops here without Z next to him, because he played the lion's share of those minutes were with Chara to his left. So now he's gone. So can he be the number one penalty killer on this team? Because they need him to be. If not, their penalty is going to be in trouble, because you look at this division, a lot of good power play weaponry on this in this division here with Pittsburgh, Washington, New York even. So you have a lot of weapons, a lot of firepower coming your way. So you need Carlo to really become that number one defensive shutdown defenseman. McAvoy can be the one, you know, for the whole game. But when it comes to the shorthanded game, that's where you need Carlo to really be the rock of that unit.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. What are the expectations for Connor Clifton for this season?
I think this will be a bounce-back year for him. I think that last year he had an injury in the middle of the season, and then the league went on pause. You know, so he really wasn't able to get into the flow of things. I think he's a confidence-based player. The way he carries himself, there's a certain swagger with the way he plays. It's aggressive. It's taking chances. It's knowing, you know, what you can and can't get away with. And I think at times that's hard to find when you're not playing as much, right? So he was in and out of the lineup with health inconsistencies and what have you. So I think that having a training camp, an accelerated training camp, helps a guy like him, because he has a feel for the game. It's 0-60 overnight, and that suits him well. So I do think that the more minutes he gets, the better off he'll be. But he's going to have competition here, because Kevin Miller is back. He was skating today, no limitations. He looks pretty good. So that right side as well, that third pairing on the right side, that's an opening as well. And so it's between Clifton and Miller, in my opinion.
McAvoy, what does he have to do to take his game to the next level?
I would like to see him shoot more. And I know he's a defenseman, so we're not saying that all that often, but he does have a sneaky good shot, in my opinion. He doesn't utilize it enough. So I think being away from Chara and sort of having to play more of a take-charge role on that unit will be beneficial for him. But me personally, I want to see him take some more chances offensively, depending on his partner, of course. But I do think there's room in his game to grow there. If he's going to be this guy, he needs to sort of start connecting on those, you know, inch his way up towards being a 40-point guy, 50-point guy to get there. But watching his game last year, I think he's got mostly everything down. But when you really saw the Bruins morph from good team to great team last year, McAvoy's offense was a big reason. So if he can do that on a consistent basis, that blue line becomes a lot better, in my opinion.
What is the goaltending situation and how solid is that? What do you think we'll see for a rotation?
So that's interesting, right? So they have to carry three goalies. There'll be a third goalie on the taxi squad, as it's being called this year. You don't have to play them, per se, but you're going to have to maybe move them in and out at least once during the year, just based on the likelihood of an outbreak or someone test positive, whatever the case may be. So I would say that based on the usage today, it looks like Daniel Vladar is in line to be the number three. But in terms of rotation, you have eight back-to-backs. You have a lot of three and fours. The NHL has done a pretty good job of spacing these out, but I do think that you're going to see another sort of 50-50 split from Tuukka and Halak with maybe a few games for Vladar mixed in there as well.
Brad Marchand, it looks like he thinks he'll be ready to go for opening day.
Yeah, and this is huge. He said today of this injury, he had a sports hernia repair in the offseason. He said this was bothering him for 2.5 years. So you look at how he's played for 2.5 years, you really don't believe that because he's been so good. But he was saying that he was playing at 80%. It began on his left side, and by last year, he was dealing with the problem on both sides. So he's 100%, or he's getting close to it, he says. And if that's the case, I mean, he's a 100-point player at 80%. What's he going to be at 100%? You know, so Cassie joked today and said, well, we expect to get 20% of a better player then. So obviously expectations are high for Marchand. With that combo with Bergeron and Pastrnak when he's healthy, that is still the best line in hockey, in my opinion. It's what happens beneath their line that's a little concerning to me.
And you wrote, Ty, you think there's a chance that we'll see Nick Wolf with the big club at some point this season?
Yeah, just looking at his build, his style, he's 6'4", really sort of industrial player in terms of what he can do out there. It wouldn't surprise me if he gets a call. Just, again, based on the I'm sure we're going to have an outbreak. It's look at the NFL, right? It's happened with a few teams, more than a few teams. I feel like at some point this is going to happen, and I feel like Nick Wolf is a guy who could get a chance here. He played some pro hockey in Slovakia during the return-to-play talks. So he has a little bit of pro game experience versus the other guys that we're talking about, you know, the some of the other Providence skaters or Jack Agan. I mean, Zaboral has two games. He's been playing in the Czech League before coming back to the U.S. for camp. But I just think that you look at the style he plays and the way the Bruins have utilized guys in the past, such as Robbie O'Gara when he was here, they're not afraid to throw these guys in there. So it wouldn't surprise me if Wolf is a guy who emerges based on, again, his size and the way he plays the game.
Follow Ty on Twitter and check out his terrific work for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Ty Anderson, always great to talk with you. And with hockey season here, we look forward to doing it on a much more regular basis, I hope.
I know. It's great to be back, and great talking to you guys as always. Looking forward to next time.
Excellent. Thanks, Ty. We'll talk soon. Ty Anderson with us on Downtown.